Now, I don't go to farmers markets all that regularly. It's not kind of my scene. But I went a few weeks ago, and it's fascinating just, you know, amidst all of the fresh fruit and veggies and all the little handcrafted knickknacks and the works of creativity. It's also a great place to go people watching. And I saw this kind of odd couple. There was a young mum with a little baby, you know, in one of those harnesses nestled very close to her chest. And then this older man, and you can see that they were kind of making their way from stall to stall. They didn't seem to be that interested in the produce that was for sale. They too seemed to be more interested in the people who were there. And as they made their way through the stalls, you see them being really focused on whoever it is that they were talking to in that moment. They were just being really attentive. They were very cheerful. They were very genuine, very authentic. You see that they were just really interested in the other person, making themselves available to listen to whatever it is that the other people were wanting to say. They were asking them questions, engaging with them. There was this beautiful sense of friendship that were beginning to blossom because of the genuineness of this pair of people. But then as they went on and I got a bit closer, I realized that they're actually Christians and they're sharing their faith and their love of God with the people as they go by being available, by being attentive to the people that are there in the market on this given day. And it really brought this gospel to life for me. That sense that, you know, if we are to be faithful to Jesus, if we do recognize that the harvest is indeed rich, that there are so much need for laborers to be in the harvest, that we shouldn't feel ourselves disqualified because we may not have a pat answer to numerous questions. We may not be trained as apologists. We may not be able to give a reason for the faith that we hold. We may not be able to formulate an argument around particular questions, particularly the juicier, kind of more controversial questions. But all that we need to do is to be ourselves, to be available. I mean, is there a more precious gift that any of us can offer to another person than the capacity simply to see them, the capacity to be available, to be a listening ear for another person, to be there to offer hope, to offer encouragement, to love another person? Surely that is where the gospel message begins to come alive. This gospel that we hear tonight from Luke chapter 10 strangely follows directly on from Luke 9. And at the end of Luke 9, which we would have heard last week, but St. Peter and St. Paul bumped off that gospel reading. And it come to the end of the ministry of Jesus that he's had up in the north, around Galilee, around the sea, over on the western coast of the Mediterranean. He made his way onto the other side of the lake into the Decapolis region. He went up to the very north of Israel in the foothills of Mount Hermon up to Caesarea Philippi. He's been doing the rounds, crisscrossing the lake, and making his way around those communities. But Jesus realizes that part of his ministry is now drawing to a close. And there's only one place that he now must head towards. And so in Luke 9, verse 51, we get, "And Jesus resolutely sets his face towards Jerusalem." And for the next 10 chapters until Luke 19, he continues to be on this pilgrimage towards his passion, a pilgrimage towards confronting the powers that be that are there in Jerusalem, all of the corruption that had entered into the religious system of the day. And so when he's on this final journey, he needs to do everything he can to make sure that these communities also are open and receptive to the message that he brings. And so he sends out not the 12 disciples. There's more need than just the 12 are able to handle. So he grabs the 72 faithful followers, people that perhaps haven't been with him all that long, They've been able to hear some of the message. They probably don't feel themselves well formed at all. And yet he entrusts them in the simplicity to simply go and to announce this message of shalom, of peace, breaking in, to be bearers of this good news, to be people that are able to sit and to listen, to see the presence of God there in whoever it is that they meet and that they encounter. He prepares them. It's not going to necessarily always go brilliantly. They're not always going to welcome you. There will be times when you need to step back, times when you need to let that choice be made, that they say that we reject you. Don't take it on the chin. Just allow that to be part of this formation as well. All that we can do is offer. All that we can do is be there to make this love that we have received, this goodness that God has shared with us, that we can share that then with others as well. That we can slowly be a community that just naturally begins to share the life and the love of God by being available to others, by being that listening ear that is able to be present to somebody else, that's able, when we hear this story of woe, when we hear the story of frustration, of addiction, of sin, of dysfunction, that we can also just go, yeah, me too. I've felt the same thing. I've experienced the same reality. I know that same experience from within. And being able to sit with them in their grief, in their pain, in their anguish, and yet offer that hope, offer that joy, offer that encouragement of God's life and love, that it's available not just to the priests, not just to the religious, not just to the good people in the church, but available to everyone. The Lord is loving all of us, calling all of us, creating continually all of us into this life and into this goodness. So let's indeed hear this invitation tonight to pray to the Lord of the harvest, that we might share that grace and that goodness, that we might allow God to point out the people around us that need someone just to be there, to see them, to hear them, to love that person and to share that life. Never alone. We're not invited simply to go alone as Lone Ranger Christians. We're invited in community to go with another person, to go to share that life and that goodness with one other, so that together we can begin to form and shape a community that experiences the presence of the peace of the Lord among us today.